Today is Christ the King Sunday. It is the last Sunday in the Christian year. The Christian year begins with the first Sunday of Advent, with the anticipation of Christ's coming. It goes through Christmas and Epiphany, Lent and Easter, Pentecost, and in some churches you celebrate Kingdomtide instead of having it be Pentecost the whole time. And we end with the celebration and remembrance of the glorified Jesus Christ, Christ the King. And it's real common on these Sundays to preach out of the book of Revelation. In fact, Revelation was the epistle choice out of the lection for today. But I chose to preach out of the Gospel because I was intrigued by this being a Christ the King Sunday scripture. He doesn't seem very much like a king in our scripture this morning. It doesn't really seem like he's in charge or has any authority or any sense of glory and honor or prestige. He's not even really being treated with much decency. It really doesn't seem much like a Christ the King scripture. But perhaps Jesus doesn't seem very much like a king to us. What are your images of Christ? What are your pictures? Jesus washing the feet? Jesus the servant? Jesus feeding the 5,000? Humble, lowly. Is Christ the King an image that you have of Christ? And if so, what kind of king is he? Isn't that what Pilate was trying to figure out after all? Every time he asked Jesus a question, it seemed Pilate got more and more confused about what kind of king Jesus was and what kind of kingdom he was claiming to have. I think Jesus' choice and what kind of king he was incredibly intentional. And I think his kingdom is birthed out of the kind of king he chose to be. Perhaps you hadn't thought about the fact that Jesus had the choice to be another kind of king. But let me take you back a bit to very early in Jesus' ministry. You remember he began his ministry by going and hearing John the Baptist preach and was baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan. And then felt compelled to go out in the desert for 40 days of prayer and fasting and preparation. And at the end of that time, Satan came to him and tempted him. The first temptation, do you remember what it was? Turn these stones into bread. Would have been a great temptation being very hungry. But it was also a temptation about just what kind of ministry, just what kind of king Jesus would be. Would he be a king of good works? A king of loving example by simply feeding the people? He could have turned a whole mountain into bread. He could have fed all of the people so simply. Or was his kingdom going to be about more? He refuses that temptation, and the next one comes. Satan takes him up to a high and lifted up place and shows him all the nations of the world at once. And says, you know, you worship me, and it's all yours. Everything you're here for, everything you're after, all the nations of the world, you can have them. The easy way, I'll hand them to you on a silver platter. All you have to do is worship me. Talking about the election and politics and all of those things, and I think how many times that I have been told or others have been told or movies have been about the fact that to get where you want to be, you're going to have to make some shady deals. You know? I mean, think about how many politic movies they make about the young, excited, vibrant, enthusiastic, idealistic politician who wants to make a difference and is really being able to do that and moving up in the politics, and now he's going to run for president. And the whole tension of the movie is, will he make the shady deal that allows him to get in the position to do the good he wants to do? Will he make a deal with the devil? Will he make a deal with the opposition? Will he sell out his principles? Will the ends justify the means? Jesus says no. No deal with the devil. Not going to do it that way. I'm not going to get my power and authority in a way that is incompatible with what I'm about and the kind of kingdom I want to have. The ends do not justify the means. The third temptation, the pinnacle of the temple. Now, the pinnacle of the temple wasn't just important because it was a high place on the temple. The pinnacle of the temple was right above two very main streets in Jerusalem. And there was some prophecy about the fact that the Messiah would appear on the pinnacle of the temple. There was some prophecy about the announcement of the Messiah being made from there. And so there was a very important place, and Jesus jumping from the pinnacle of the temple and being caught by angels where, I mean, this would have been like doing it on CNN because of the two main roads that went through Jerusalem. I mean, everybody would know he was the Messiah. He could wow them and get his power and authority that way. And we talk about, you know, a lot of sense of people getting into power by charisma and by dazzle and by manipulating the media. It definitely would have been a media manipulation event. And Jesus says, no, not going to do it that way either. I want to take you to another point in Jesus' ministry. The feeding of the 5,000 as recorded by John. Jesus takes, okay, I've lost my numbers. What is it? 3 fish and 5 barley loaves that a little boy has? Three fish, 5 barley loaves. And he feeds 5,000 people. And there's crumbs left over. And now, I think they picked up 12 baskets of crumbs and leftovers. An amazing event, an amazing miracle. At the end of that event, the people want to seize him and make him king. Do you remember that part of the story? That always slips by me. At the end of him feeding 5,000 people, they want to make him king. And Jesus refuses. In fact, he withdraws from the people and goes up on the mountain to pray. Jesus has just made a very interesting choice. He refuses to be king by force, by the force of the people. They say, we want to make you king, our kind of king. He says, no, I'm here for a particular purpose. That's not the kind of king I'm going to be. Think of, now, it may surprise you that just simply feeding the people would probably, maybe in your mind, be enough. But think of the way he fed them. 3 fish, 5 barley loaves. Now, what could a man who could feed 5,000 people with 3 fish and 5 barley loaves do with, let's say, 3 swords and 5 chariots? He could arm a nation. He could have been king by force. It could have been so easy. And Jesus stands before Pilate and says, if my kingdom was of this world, sure, my followers would be fighting to make sure I wasn't handed over. He could have done it, and he chose not to. am just really amazed at thinking of the choices that Jesus had. The way he could have been king, the things his kingdom could have been about. He could have been king by popular demand. He could have been king by media manipulation. He could have been king by force. He could have been king by a shady deal with the devil. All of those would have been easier ways to go. And yet Jesus chose to be king by love. By loving us so much that he gave up his choices so that we could have the choice. You see, other kingdoms are established by absolute power and absolute authority in a very different way than Jesus' kingdom is established. If you are born into, and this is, some of this is like ancient history, and calling Jesus king may not completely work for us. So let's go back a little bit and think about empires and emperors. If you were born into an empire, you had to be loyal to that emperor. If you were born into a kingdom, you had to be loyal to that king. And if you weren't, what happened? Any guess? Exactly. I mean, you died. The heads, they rolled. There's going to be a movie out about... I just lost his name. The Dracula. Vlad the Impaler. Vlad the Impaler is a real historical character. And one of the things about this movie they keep saying is, you know, history is more scary than the fictional thing about Dracula. And I mean, Vlad was a pretty scary dude. He dominated through fear and violence. And if you didn't do what he wanted, you're dead. And not only are you dead, but we put your body up on a stake so that everybody can see you're dead. And how you died and why you died. And as you walk down that, you say, I don't want to end up like that. I'm going to be loyal. But not Jesus' kingdom. Isn't it amazing? You can't be born into Jesus' kingdom. You can't be forced into Jesus' kingdom. Although there are probably some people who need that particular piece of information. You have to make the choice. It's yours. That's the kind of kingdom Jesus established. Jesus says about his kingdom, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to you, the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not here. For this I was born, and to this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." That's our invitation. Jesus' kingdom is a kingdom of invitation. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever loved him and believed in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. We've been given a choice. It's an all-volunteer kingdom. But here's the catch. Now, how many of you have served in the armed services? We didn't do this on Veterans Day. So, veterans, please stand. Or raise your hand. Veterans, please stand. Okay. Now, were you drafted or did you enlist? Carl, were you drafted or did you enlist?
I enlisted.
You enlisted? Drafted or enlisted?
Enlisted.
Drafted or enlisted?
Enlisted.
Drafted or enlisted?
Drafted.
You were drafted. Okay, good. I needed one. Now, because you were drafted, it wasn't your choice, and because you enlisted, it was your choice. Did you have a different set of rules than he did once you got in? Did you all who enlist have a different set of rules than the people who were drafted? No. Once you're in, you're in. The rules are the same for everybody. Okay, you may be seated. Do you think about that? Jesus' kingdom is all volunteer. And I think sometimes, because of that, we think when we get in, because it was our idea, we get to set the agenda and the rules. Right? You know, King Jesus, wash our feet. This one too, please. You know, and while you're at it, could you get my hair? It's a little, you know, shaggy today. And it's all about us. But once you sign up in the military, whether it was your choice or not, the rules are the same. And so is the haircut. Right, the haircut's the same. You know, once you're in, nobody knows who enlisted and who was drafted. Everybody has to follow the same rules. So here's the question I have to you. If you have made the choice that Jesus is going to be your king and that you are going to be a part of Jesus' kingdom, does your life reflect that? Is Jesus your king? And maybe a better word for us, because, you know, kings aren't something we deal with on a regular basis anymore. Is Jesus the boss? Is Jesus your boss? Does he get to call the shots? Does he get to make the rules? It's an interesting question, isn't it? And I think in our country, we have a problem with authority. I mean, we're kind of a country that was founded on having a problem with authority. You know, you think about in history, that's kind of why we're here. We had a problem with authority, particularly a king's authority. And so talking about King Jesus, I think sometimes just kind of gets our back up. Because our experience with earthly kings and earthly boss and earthly authority is that those people use their authority for their own purposes, for their own furtherance of their own agenda. And they don't really care about their subjects in the way we'd like them to. So we like democracy, where if they don't do what we want, we vote them out. Right? But if Jesus can come and redefine what it means to love, and if Jesus can come and redefine what it means to be a father or a parent, certainly Jesus can come and redefine what it means to be king. Our earthly definitions of king may be no good, because in our world, absolute power, how does it go? Absolute power corrupts absolutely. That's our world. Give anybody absolute power, wait 5 minutes, you're going to have corruption. Because we're imperfect. But the amazing thing about Jesus Christ is that he is absolute power. He's absolute authority. He's absolute king. And he's absolutely incorruptible. We can trust Jesus to be king of our lives. We can trust him to call the shots. We can trust him to be our boss, because we know that he is absolute power and is absolutely incorruptible. We can trust him with our very lives.